First item on the agenda is the public comment. So does anyone have anything? Well, there's no members of the public here today, but anyone else have any comments, general comments they'd like to open with? Then next item is approval of the minutes, which are before you.
They're attached.
Mm-hmm. Any comments on the minutes, or do I have a motion to accept, or
so moved.
I'll abstain, I wasn't there.
Okay. Have a second?
1 second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the next item of business is the infrastructure management plan. Update on the 1920 street rehab project.
The
1819, right.
The 1920 Akram, we're out to bid.
Yes. Last time we provided you the list of the projects that is being proposed, and we got that approved also by the City Council. Since it is, we had to report it to the state, since it's being funded, also partially funded by the SB1. And I modified the map for all the projects that we have done, and the proposed 1920 is in the light blue, which is mainly right on the top north part of the city.
Do you recall that if you look up center, the light blue, the council replaced... We replaced it, and I believe Councilman Cullicott was concerned. So we took Meads off. That was on the original thought, and we replaced that with the light blue over there by center going up onto Valley. Mm. If you'll see that, we're trying to address.
And
so we're trying to get more residential than the Meads.
Okay.
So the council approved that.
And so at that corner...
I'm sorry, so the portion of center was added then, right?
Yes, the center was
so
was not on the previous map.
Okay.
Yeah.
In replacement of Meads.
Right.
Yeah.
And also at the intersection of Valley, Cerro Villa, and center at that corner, there is a couple of, drains, I'm going to call them, not catch basins. All what they are, it just punched through... the main drain, and that's how the whole street is draining. So we're try to fix that intersection and put actual catch basins in order to properly drain Cerro Villa and Valley.
Uh-huh.
So
was it identified in the storm drain master plan as one of the areas that needed correction?
It is a something that it needs to be looked at, and also because the way it is, the street is not built to the full width, and it just the way it drains, it just collects water.
So there's standing water in
yes,
the intersection
in that,
right now.
So we're gonna try to clean it out as part of this project.
Do we have any easement on that corner? Additional easement, because that's
a
real sharp corner.
We have a lot of easements. We're not gonna do any major widening, because if we do, it's going to require a big retaining walls. As you see on Cerro Villa, there is a major retaining wall.
Yes.
But we're going to clean it out in order to provide a smooth, right turn, and also take care of those drainage.
What were we talking about?
But not right...
The north end of center of our
where
Transit Valley.
The
or
green,
right,
right there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Cerro Villa and Center and Valley. Valley changes names, that location.
Yeah, it's always been a real dicey corner for pedestrians because it's about you can walk single file around that corner, and it's still the cars are right there.
Yeah, I mean, again, We're not gonna do a sidewalk or a trail, because if we do that, that's gonna require a retaining walls, unless the city wants to spend the money into that. But at least we'll put in some kind of a curb to get the drainage properly taken care of. Mm-hmm. And maybe at a later time, if funding is available, then we can do another sidewalk project that includes widening of that.
That is a difficult place to walk. You go up Center and you hang around the curve there. It seems like you've got to cross the street at a certain point, right? It's always kind of a weird, okay, where do I cross? And you got this curve, you got the median in the middle there.
There's no crosswalk.
No.
Yeah. At that location where the median is, mm-hmm. there is a, on the, I guess, south side, there is an asphalt sidewalk, very narrow. Mm-hmm. We will improve that and provide a path, at least a curb, an actual sidewalk. Either, we'll decide if we're going to do it as an asphalt or concrete, but that portion will improve that. But I'm talking about the actual intersection, the upper intersection. Is that the one which it does not, not measure to?
The sidewalk continues all the way to that intersection, right?
On along one side, wall? Yeah, on that side, yes. Side. But the drainage issue is on the other location. As soon as we have a plans or preliminary plans, we'll bring that to the committee.
It'd be nice if the curb and sidewalk were concrete to match the rest of the city.
Okay, I mean, that's
it. But we do have sidewalks.
Yes.
So what's the thought about fixing the drainage problem? You said right now there's like these vertical inlets that don't go anywhere. So there's no storm drain in the area, or is there?
There's a storm drain. There's no catch basin. It's just punching through the main storm drain. It's just a pipe punch through the storm drain. That's where it is.
There's some kind of grate on it, though, is there?
It's interesting. The way it is, it's just a small, solid grate that goes and the water goes underneath it.
Underneath it, I remember seeing that.
It's not a grate.
Right in front of that construction.
Yeah.
The guy is, remodeling that house on top.
Yeah. Del Cero.
Right in front of that by his driveway.
It looks like you have a 24-inch pipe there.
Yeah, yeah. We have a main pipe. Yeah. So this is Cerro Villa, and this is Valley. There's one right in here if you pay attention.
Yeah.
And there's another one right in here.
Yeah, okay. Those are the ones that you're
Those are the ones that we need to take care of. I mean, since we're paving this street, so we're going to try to put in some kind of a curb and put a catch basin right in here, and probably, we've, in the RFP scope of work, I've requested that to study if there is a need for that catch basin or can be eliminated or whatever. So we're going to do some kind of analysis to determine the size of the catch basins that needed at those two locations.
So because this is a storm drain improvement, so it was not identified in the storm drain master plan, it should have been identified in the storm drain master plan for upgrades. So it should be funded also out of the storm drain monies. Is that correct or not?
If depending on how much the cost of it, and we'll see what, the funding,
it looks like there's a lot of drainage area coming down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of water coming out of it, for sure.
All of it comes out of here. Yeah. So basically, these are like minor, because the main line is only 24-inch. Let me see if they said what's the update for it.
So what are you bidding at for design or bidding at for
An RFP was sent to several consultants
for design,
and we should be getting the proposal sometimes next week, and hopefully we'll take it to the city council this coming meeting or the next meeting for hiring a an engineering firm to do the design for the street project.
Was any hydrology included in that RFP, or are they planning on using the master plan hydrology, or how are they going to size the basins for such a large area?
There is no hydrology study. It's in the scope of work, but it's we've asked them to review whatever the available information in order to come up with the size.
Yeah, we'd like to see what, I mean, it's such a large tributary area there, so the basins are either going to have to be huge, possibly, or there's going to be overflow, and we need to know and understand what happens during a heavy storm if the water doesn't all fit into the system. Where is it going to go? Is it going to run across the intersection as it normally does? Are you going to contain it in some sort of a cross gutter or redirect it in one direction or the other, you know, other than letting it just sit in the intersection as it fills up and then spills out.
And also, if you put that much additional water into the storm drain, will you go over capacity?
Right.
You don't need the hydrology, though.
Well, they can size the basins properly.
Hopefully we have enough
information. Oh, okay.
Can take care of it. Otherwise, then we would have to do a complete hydrology to see what is coming on Cerro Villa, and
Hopefully, it was identified in the storm drain master plan. That's why they studied the area. So,
typically, what we do in our kind of work is whenever we're faced with that, the city provides us with the master plan hydrology files. And then we basically fine-tune it.
Yeah.
And we've done that for mm-hmm. in San Clemente and everywhere, so for you, actually.
Because generally the master plans are more of an overview. They don't zoom down to the actual nitty-gritty. And a lot of times the queues could be bigger for that area than what they state. But since this is kind of newer, I mean, just completed recently, hopefully they did a good job and, you know, got a pretty good feel for the tributary area there.
Have you thought of, at that corner there, it's kind of steep. So for the water to go into the catch basin, it's really at a slope. Mm-hmm. So basically, whenever you have that, catch basin tend to be really large. So when I was looking at this, have you thought much about moving the catch basin further, I guess it will be east, where the street flattens out. So therefore the
catch basin... You mean in valley?
Yeah. So basically what happens is the catch basin will get smaller because the slope of the street is less.
We've, as part of the scope of work, we have asked him to survey, 100 feet further, so in order to see where is the best way.
Right.
Yeah. So that is, there's a survey included.
Yeah, I think there's a high point over here to the east, right?
Right.
Kind of crests over.
Right.
Yeah. Probably should have him go from the high point back.
Yeah. So that is...
I think that's a great idea because
that is
may be more than 100 feet.
Yeah, I think it is more than 100 feet.
That's more than,
Could you issue a clarification to the RFP?
Well, as soon as we get the RFPs, then we'll look at them and we'll study it and any modification that we need, for the consulting firm to do, then we'll...
CLC, one of the companies here?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah, that because they did the...
Since they did the master plan, they might be able to get a better feel.
We've sent the RFP to 6 different consulting firms.
I don't recall, I drive by there all the time, I don't recall any flooding issues, water coming down Cerro Villa when there's heavy rains, but I wasn't paying too much attention.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it gets captured in that system before it has a chance to flash across the street. It does seem like it gets captured there pretty well.
Well, I mean, we need to clean up this area.
For sure.
That intersection.
For sure, but I don't think we're overrunning the system. I don't remember having any issues there.
So again, just
Mike might know.
Quick question about the funding.
No, it's actually performing.
This, according to this, the budget for catch basins is $238,700 for storm drain improvements. Mm-hmm. So are we going to be using that money in addition to the pavement monies, street rehab monies, to fund this storm drain repair?
Most probably we might need to take some money from the storm drain. We have only about $350 for the streets project. So whatever catch basin related, we'll take it from the storm drain.
We've got $810
$810
So yeah, we'll look at the project and we have the money available.
Yeah, if it's available, it's obviously part of the of the storm drain upgrades. So that way we can leave, you know, as much money as possible for the streets. Street okay. Any questions, Dr.? No. Okay, next item is the, I guess, the slurry seal project. There is a slurry seal project?
Yeah.
Remember we set at your recommendation $125,000 towards slurry seal. Right. So Akram has some thoughts about where to slurry seal.
Okay. What type of slurry seal are you guys planning on using?
Type 2. Okay. What I was, you know, looking at the, as you have the map, of all the projects that we've done in the city, and to be more efficient and also get the best, you know, for money, for our money, is to do divide the city into areas, and do the streets that's needed that can be. Slurry sealed is to do them one area at a time. So with that, I took the northwest area and came up with, let me give you this, came up with the projects that might need that or qualify for slurry seal. And these are the one which is shown in the red. Some of the, as you see, the rest of the colors are streets that were rehabilitated or to be rehabilitated this year in the prior years too. So the red ones are the ones which is the slurry seal. One of the things which is I'm debating on delaying maybe the possibility of Feather Hill because I'm looking at in the future to do Serrano from Santiago and to Nichols and also Nichols itself. Feather Hill, I went and visited all these locations out in the field. Feather Hill, there is more cracks that is in the on that pavement, and also there is three homes or are under, you know, construction and so on, which is felt that if we do the slurry at this moment, we're gonna need to do quite a few R&Rs and do some repairs before we could do any slurry on Feather Hill. At the same time, with the construction occurring is at the end of the cul-de-sac and trucks and heavy trucks coming in and out and so on, the slurry could not, you know, it will be ruined easily versus if we delay Feather Hill then and do Serrano at the time that we do a repaving of Serrano, we'll do Feather Hill at the same time.
A repaving just a slurry seal?
These projects, the one in the red is the slurry seal projects proposed slurry seal projects.
But
for
if
this
it
year.
Needs that much repair, that's probably not a good candidate.
That
for
is correct.
Slurry. You shouldn't be slurring, spending the money on slurry.
Bingo.
For something like that, you should be putting that in the street rehab category.
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
just because it's right next to a couple other streets that need slurry, but we want to slurry the streets that are in better condition so we can extend their life longer. So we don't have to dig them or cold mill and do dig outs on them. But the ones that need dig outs, I would say they shouldn't be considered for slurry. They should be considered for rehab.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing. And that's why I'm saying is that, hey, I'm debating on that is because on some of the streets that where we did maintenance R&R and spot repairs, and so those are, it'll be good for the slurry and so on and all that. This one has a little bit more, and it, before we slurry it, we would have to do the dig up and so on and all that. And that's why, and I said, I would like to delay that and do it as part of Serrano. When we do Serrano, and Serrano is going to require a repaving, then we look at Feather Hill if we're going to do it either repaving or it might be enough to do the spot repairs and slurry at that time.
Because most of the street rehab work is already in the Northwest Quadrant this year, would it make a little bit better sense or better optics to maybe pick another quadrant of the city to do the slurry instead of so... That the if you're only working in the Northwest Quadrant all year.
I think one of the concerns was that some of those, like Dotson and Bryn Mawr, have not been done in a long time.
So
actually, Bob Wolf,
gave all of them.
Who lives on Dodson, he addressed the council 3 or 4 years ago. He was a resident there since like 1973, so 45 years ago, and he said the street needed to be rehabbed then.
the key
he's actually
is
addressed
rehab.
Our yeah addressed our council a number of times.
If it's been 50 years, really, it's I doubt if I mean a slurry is not going to do anything for that structural section. So perhaps these streets should be or should have been included in the rehab category for this year, or can we find the money to do a couple of those this year?
But don't you normally pick whatever the PCI is the right range for a slurry seal? I mean, maybe these PCI.
I did look at the PCI and so on and all that, and I went out in the field personally and visited. And like, for example, that's on. We did do a spot repairs at a lot of different locations, so it is a, it is a good candidate for slurry. And anytime when we do slurry, we're not gonna just slurry without doing any crack sealing if it's needed. Any crack sealing, you know, those will be done. Before that, and if there is
there'll
any
be crack sealing before you slurry?
Oh yes.
Okay.
As part of that, that will be crack sealing the streets that is before we slurry it. And if there is a like in a couple of those locations, there is manholes has risen. Those will be adjusted. Mm-hmm. So there is a couple of things that would need to be done, prior to the slurry or after the slurry for lowering the manholes covers. So I'm not just picking a street that is 85 and nothing to be done on it to just slurry it. So if there is, they are in the 70s. So there will be some spot repairs and some, crack sealing and so on that is going to be required. But Feather Hill, it is at the, edge of do we need to do a paving or can we do, spot repairs and, ancillary. So that's why I'm raising it that, hey, this is my question on that. And that's why I wanted to make sure that if we delay it and we're doing the rest of the street, the resident is not going to come in and say, hey, you did all the street, but my street was not done.
Mm-hmm. No, just
right? Which is that happens all the time.
Well,
you know?
They're good, people are always going to ask questions and stuff. You've got to do the right, whatever we think is right. The Feather Hill was slurry sealed and crack filled 10, 12 years back, something like that. And whatever they used was water soluble, and it started washing off immediately, and the cracks filled it. I'm pleased to see that, like on Charter and Janus, where you've done did the crack filling recently, used a better rubberized asphalt fill. The type of slurry seal we're going to be using is hopefully not going to be something water soluble, something that will actually stick. And
I hope so.
Okay. I hope so too. Yeah, it was actually worse than nothing, because as it started coming off, we all had this black dust blown around into our houses. Mm. It was a mess. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to, and crack sealing, no matter what you do, the crack sealing after and you slurry the street, if there are some cracks, after a few years, those cracks gonna reflect, and they're gonna show. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you go much deeper and you grind it and so on and remove the cause of that crack and so on, the cracks will show after crack, sealing, mm-hmm. After a couple of years or so.
Yeah, at least the cracks don't grow. There's no, the water doesn't enter.
Yeah.
More material doesn't deposit in the crack. And
that's
so
correct.
Forth, so.
Okay.
Going back to Feather Hill, if you look at the your PCI, mm-hmm. they divide Feather Hill into two sections.
Correct.
The first section, which is supposed to be good, and the second section is
bad. Yes.
Yeah. And basically, everything that you picked is in the good, mm-hmm. 75 and above. Is that what you did?
Yeah. That is correct. Okay. Feather Hill, that is what you said is correct. They divided into two.
Yeah.
And one section is
basically
not,
from Mountain View and up, they say,
yeah,
it's not
which
good.
Is by the cul-de-sac area.
Right. It's basically
from here.
It's
yes.
Like a
so
third
that needs
of
to be
street.
Repaired. That needs to be repaved.
Yeah. So a third of it is basically definitely repaved. And then the other, according to this TI, is in good condition. So.
Mm-hmm. So the proposal on the table is to move Feather Hill to the Serrano Nichols project at a later date, or
is that for next year?
Because of the construction and so on, and to do then a grind and overlay on that street perhaps, or at least half of the street requires a grind and overlay. Mm-hmm. Is that the proposal that's on the table right now?
Actually,
yep.
Is that next year? Do you have
okay.
a
matter of fact,
projection?
Okay. In the RFP for the street projects, I put an option because when I was doing all that and looking at it, and it says if, to give us an optional, proposal for designing Serrano or so. So if we have the funding enough and so on, and we'll recalculate the how much it's going to cost, the proposed rehab, if we have enough money, then I would like to do Serrano at that time. So this way, to finish the whole area, and we'll look at Feather Hill to do it at the same time. If not, at least we'll have, we'll have an idea what it is, and then we can defer it maybe to next year.
Are you asking for geotechnical also on this?
No.
Okay, because Serrano and Nichols really high TIs because of the school. They have so much traffic that it's not a regular residential street.
Yeah.
So they probably require a decent review of the structural section versus the TI. That would be recommended, but if you guys feel it isn't, then...
We didn't require any of that. The TI can be calculated because it's the only truck traffic that is there is mainly the school buses and the normal trash and truck deliveries. It's
yeah,
not
but
a,
it's not a TI of six. It's more like
and
a,
we'll,
it's a lot
with
more
that,
traffic.
With that, we'll, you know, normally what we do with our, you know, collectors and so on, we have it calculated maybe as a TI of 8, you know, which is higher.
Yeah,
residential rates,
yeah.
Yeah. So
8 is good, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but
so this way
what
to
I'm
be on
saying
the safe
is,
side.
Whenever we do something, if it is a small residential street, I would say you don't need it.
That's correct.
But these are...
What we don't want to do is spend all this money on Serrano and Nichols and not have a proper structural section design so that in 2 years it's not falling apart again or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to last at least 10, preferably 20 if we can afford it, but at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And...
yeah,
order,
normally we design it for 15.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
It's not a...
So as long
but the Serrano work that you're talking about, you're lumping it with this ceiling project? Or you're, I mean,
No. If that... If Serrano is... If we have the funding and we'll see when the proposals comes out and so on and calculate all the rehab, then we'll include Serrano as part of the street projects.
Oh, so you're asking the people who are going to do the street improvement design to
is
study Serrano.
To give us a optional for the city to, for the design of that street. And then we'll determine if we're going to construct it as part of this.
Or next year, I think that was a question.
Or the next year.
Yeah. And then you're going to include this one-third
and
of
if that,
Feather Hill?
And then we'll do the whole Feather Hill.
Oh, the whole Feather Hill?
Yeah, I mean, it's it wouldn't be proper to do half of it or one-third of it, repave and then slurry the rest of it. So we do, you know, the whole street.
I know in the infrastructure tour you mentioned that about 3 years ago, you mentioned that in the cul-de-sac, since that's where the trash trucks turn around, we get a lot of heavy use, that you've got another, will be, or would, at the time you said you'd be developing another specification for the cul-de-sac part to be able to deal with the... additional stress from trash truck turnarounds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Has that been done? Or is that identified in the RFP to put in a thicker section or whatever?
Well, the RFP will look at the if there's a cul-de-sacs, if there is any need to change the material, and also if there is any thicknesses that is required there, like. The cul-de-sacs, especially the small cul-de-sacs and things like that, it's not recommended to do a now rubberized because of the rubberized of the, you know, the different type differences between regular conventional AC and the rubberized. So the cul-de-sacs will start to use the regular AC versus the rubberized.
Okay. On the inside corner of Nichols and Serrano, there's a significant deterioration. Yeah, in fact, there's actually a dip, I think. If you could take a look at that for maybe a repair project, it's a relatively small section, but everybody coming around that corner, your tire hits that, and it's
Nichols and Serrano.
It's just come apart. It's on the Cerevilla Middle School, you know, the inside part of that corner. If you look at it, it's pretty bad shape.
just make sure to, when they start looking at the pavement alternatives for that street in particular, that the designers consider that a lot of children ride bikes, and we're not going to allow them to just slap on an extra thick cap of AC and make the street crown too steep. We don't want parked cars' doors like flying open as these little children are getting in and out to exit to the school. We want a proper section designed on that street. That's 15-year, and that will stand up to the traffic but still allow for ADA, for parking and egress, and for bike traffic on that, which means nothing over 5% crossfall on that section.
Yeah, that's,
so a lot of times people, I mean, a quick, easy, I'll just add more asphalt to the crown or something, but that's not going to fly on Serrano because of the school use.
Yeah.
So make sure that they look at that.
If you look at the gutters, it appears that there's already been a bit of a buildup. That's a good point.
Yeah, with past overlays, it just, yeah pretty soon your lip is like 2 inches.
Yeah, if you grind only just the edges, then you're building the crown.
Right. The problem is
yeah.
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's you bottom out, coming in and out of driveways, you start scraping, and then it's not good where you have parked cars and kids in and out, and bike traffic, too.
Yeah, we have that problem with PEP.
Yeah, we have that problem.
All right.
Okay. All right, so was there an agreement? Do we have any direction for them? Discussion on whether or not to do the Northwest Quadrant for the Slur Seal project, to do these streets as proposed, and or delay Feather Hill for grind and overlay with Serrano Nichols when that happens, which may or may not be this year, maybe next year.
I'll not comment since I live on the street.
Okay. Any other
Seems
comments?
Seems better to defer it, doesn't it? I mean, if we're making a recommendation here?
Yeah, it sounds like it's not a good candidate, and because of the construction on the street, too, it's not a good candidate for slurry seal at this time. So
for powder
dry. I would agree that it's better to do a grind and overlay on it at a future, the next. Whether it's this round and we have extra money, or whether it's with Serrano Nichols when that project moves forward. So, any comments, Matt?
I think that makes sense. I agree. You know, since you said, you're already not sure about it either, so I think it makes sense to delay it, I think.
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I just stick it out.
Stick it out.
But it would be nice to show. Like I tried, this is a little too small for me to read.
Zoom in.
So I was going to try and find out what the PCI, I have it already, is my focus. is what the PCI of these streets are.
Yeah.
And then look at it in that way. So for me, it would have been a lot helpful to see, like, okay, this section here has a 70, this section has a 75, this street is this much, this street is this much. So I'll still go back and do it myself just for me.
If that, I have it on an Excel sheet, so I'll be glad to send it to you.
No,
just for these. Because I pulled them out.
As long as, politically it's okay, it's just to do everything in the north quarter quadrant versus anything in the rest of the city, usually people.
I think we need to keep in mind, slurry seal was an annual project.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're putting these things off for 5 or 10 years. Next year we have another 125,000.
Right.
So it's a progressive. So
We had that problem in Downey because whatever we do, like one section, people on the other end go to council and start yelling and screaming. And why isn't my street down? You guys haven't been here in 20 years. And so to avoid it, what we do over there is like we do a couple of streets here, a couple of streets here, a couple of streets there. So It's a political decision, and it has nothing to do with engineering.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But it's also when you do all the slurry within a certain area, the cost becomes much lower than, because they don't have to jump in from one location to another.
Right, but remember, slurry seal is a very light mobilization cost. You're not talking about grinding and hauling off and traffic control. Yeah. All you do is you close the street and you just, it's one truck with a spray on it. That's the cost.
Yeah. You know.
But it's a political decision. It's not. It has nothing to do with engineering. You know? So if that's the way you guys want it, that's fine.
Well, this was nothing that was decided on by council. This was a staff recommendation, and I think it's...
Okay. From a council perspective, though, do you think that we should spread the slurry sieve project over the entire city, or at least half the city, or...
Whatever.
Because we are already doing street rehab in the northwest quadrant, yeah. So there'll be a lot of work going on already. Do we want to add on to that the slurry just in this area, or spread it, maybe select some streets in a different quadrant for slurry, as well as maybe Dotson, or the ones that really need, maybe, that have focal attention?
From one councilman's perspective, we're so stretched for resources to work with that however we can stretch our buck to go the furthest, regardless of where it is.
Okay.
Can we defend this, everything in the north quarter? Can we say, okay, these are really good streets?
Oh, I think we can defend it anywhere in the city. Okay. Councilman Cullicott said we can defend it anywhere in the city.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's an issue, and I think candidly it's a... You know, some people would argue that if you're doing one area, why don't you do it all at once as opposed to having it, you know, disrupted for long periods of time or whatever. So, I mean, there's an argument pro or con, and we're going to hear from residents regardless. So I think we do is try and do the best judgment we can.
Okay.
And I think if the councilman's comfortable, as staff, we're comfortable defending it. I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
So it's just getting it done at this point.
Yeah,
because there's no traffic control. These are like cul-de-sacs, every single one.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically just close the street and you're done.
Yeah.
And most probably we'll have them do it when school is closed. So this way, to minimize any...
Oh, absolutely. Anything around the school area definitely needs to be done.
So that'd be like during spring break or whatever, or just wait till summer?
Yeah,
something like that. Yes.
Well, actually, the schools are out so much now.
Yeah.
2 weeks for spring or Christmas, 3 weeks for spring Christmas, and 2 weeks for spring break or something ridiculous. I mean, I don't mean to be critical, but it's just they're out a lot more now, so it's easier. The windows are open more. Let me just say that.
Okay. And this work will be scheduled for like the hot weather, right?
Yeah,
correct.
That is correct. Yeah.
And keep in mind, the schools now are getting out in early June, so.
We have a longer summer for construction. So. Yeah, and just make sure that with slurry seal, we've noticed that it's very important to make sure that the inspectors or the construction managers really review the submittals from the contractor in detail to make sure that we're getting the type of slurry that we really want, because so often they try to slip in other mixtures that may or may not be the quality that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So make sure that the management, the construction manager at least, reviews and approves every submittal for the slurry mix.
Do we, is that part of our specifications, the slurry mix?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But whether or not it's in the specs written is a different, what they submit to you is not always matches what you've asked for.
Okay.
And if somebody is just waving it through without actually reviewing the mix, then you get stuck with something that is not what we paid for.
Has his glasses on.
Well, Akram, I'm sure, would do a perfect job, but I don't know who's going to do the construction management or whether it's a kid fresh out of
school. For slurry seal projects, mostly slurry seal projects, that we don't have a construction management for that. It'll be just...
Okay, it's all you. All right.
I'll call you guys. I'll call Bill. Come and check it out.
Give us back.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, the problem we had on Feather Hill was before Akram's time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the stories have evolved over the years, too, yeah. So there's a lot better performing stuff out there.
Now. Yeah, but they don't last that long.
No,
they don't. It's about three, four years.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is just a temporary look good, feel good type of
It's surprising. The residents very much appreciate it when it is done, though. They really do.
Oh, if there's
even if it's just a painting of the street, they really appreciate. We get calls, probably as much calls on those as we do on full rehabs, because they don't know what the difference is. They just think it looks nice.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It does. All right. So, it sounds like everyone's in agreement. We don't need to make a motion on all of this work.
We're good.
Okay. We'll move forward as planned. Okay. Next item: street painting.
We are, you'll see trucks out now. We're painting, repainting stops and et cetera around the street. We have identified, so we had a contract that we're letting for getting some of the work repainted in streets, you know, median, stop limit lines, et cetera, throughout the city. So Akram has gone out, and we've had several eyes on it and get it, so we'll
have using thermoplastic or standard paint?
Okay, for the legends... thermoplastic, and for the actual striping, the double center is just regular paint.
Regular paint?
Correct.
I have a little comment on that. I notice a lot of the utilities come and cut streets. They don't repaint.
Serrano
just did center.
Serrano is okay.
Yeah. Serrano Water District. It's at Center and Catella. Basically, they took a patch out and then they repaint.
Serrano and Catella?
No. Center
and Catella. I'm sorry. Center and Catella.
Serrano Water District.
Serrano Water District.
Yeah.
Cut. Okay. And then you did the cut on an old lamp lighter. And they took out half of the stop sign bar and actually the S.
It is on the on the list.
On the list.
It's 3 years ago.
It's on the list.
You top there.
And the problem is somebody.
I'm confident that the residents over there they know the stop sign. That's why I didn't put it in.
It's a test. It's a spelling test.
One thing about
the problem is the sheriff sits out there at the corner, and I would say that please focus on the street or not the street, the school, the yellow crosswalks, especially because the intersection of Center and Santiago is old and faded, and at night or at dusk. When you're coming into that intersection and the sheriff is sitting on one of those four corners watching you, that it's very easy to not see the lines.
Santiago and?
I know the mayor has asked for increased enforcement and actually got a ticket there because my bumper hung over the first yellow line when he said I was in the intersection. Even though I couldn't really see it. Stuff pavement ticket, but anyway, because he said, oh, this is a school crossing, this is yellow, this is like a super, we don't want you hitting people in the crosswalk. Focus on the ADA, the school crossing yellow painted intersections first, and then you can go back and
you may want to consider the yellow to be reflective.
The beads.
The beads on top.
Yeah,
It's always.
Especially the yellow. That's not the case right now, because remember we have no street lights, and when you're coming in at night, if it is faded and missing, if there is beads and stuff, you can see it right away. Like from far away, you can see because of the reflection.
Yeah.
But that's something for you to consider. Yeah.
One of the requirements when they paint it they spread the beads on top. So right. This way it's to keep it reflective.
Right, as long as you have it in your specs, yes. You know, especially for the yellow, the white.
On both. Yeah. It's required for both, you know. But and one thing which is I want to clarify, not all the everything is going to be painted or repainted. We have a certain budget we're going to work with, and also the streets that are being proposed to be paved or slurried for this year, we would not pre-stripe them, because they're going to be striped as part of the paving or the slurry seal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So even though you might see that there is, you know, the paint is faded or the, you know, the legend, one of the legend letters is missing, we won't be doing them, because we don't want to do them and then after a few months come in and regrind them, you know, and that. So those would not be done. So we're going to do the ones that is not included, and also try to, as Bill mentioned, there are certain priorities, the ones by the school area and so on, those have a higher priority than the others. And we'll try to utilize every penny from the budget. We might go a little bit over, depending on how much, you know, we need. I have a list of all the locations and so on and all that. That's
you know, the kind of thing of it, that intersection that Leah was ticketed at, actually it's a blind spot. You pull up and this one side has a tree that's basically way over into the handicap ramp, and then you cannot see if you stop at the bar. So 99%, because after she got the ticket, I stopped watching it. 99% of people actually do cross to be able to see the cross traffic. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about, because I think whoever put the crosswalk there did it to get funding or something, because It's a real doozy of an intersection. And people don't stop. Some people, especially coming down center, they just keep going, and it's like, it's a.
Okay. Matter of fact, just to, for Santiago, I know it's out of, you know, the subject or the item and so on. As probably you noticed that there is a gas company which is upgrading the gas line from our city limits at Sycamore all the way to, it's going to be to Wanda, and then they're going to be going also turning right on Santiago to Taft, okay? And that portion is
up here
all the way to Taft. That portion, Santiago, is City of Orange. But within our area, from Sycamore all the way to Wanda, I'm trying now, well, they're going to be required. We've required them that they're going to have to pave half of the street. Okay? And
that's
that
fair, because their line's like right in the middle of the lane.
You know, I mean, it's
the travel lane.
It's
half of the street. Hopefully, I'm trying to negotiate if we can get them, the gas company or maybe the contractor, is to reimburse us or pay us for how much is going to cost them for repaving, recapping that portion. Mm-hmm. And then we can come in the city to repave the full street. Because it would be, you know, half of the street is paved, the other half is cracked, you know, and so on. So if we're going to pave it, have them pave it, might as well take the money instead of them recapping that street, and we can do the whole width of the street, the city to come up with the funding and do the whole street. And I, at that time, I would look at, if you say there is the blind crosswalk, then maybe we can look at it. Is it because of certain dip or something?
No, it's that because we can... of the right of way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's the right of way and the walls. Okay. They're too close. It's just whoever placed the crosswalk.
We'll look at maybe we need to put in additional signage, says, stop sign ahead or crosswalk.
Are you going to go after the utilities for areas that did the stripe and charge them for it?
Normally, they are required to do the striping after they pave. Serrano Water District is kind of like they're kind of like behind. What they do is they don't do it every time they do a repair. They come in and stripe it. They end up, several months behind before they come in, get one contractor to do the striping and so on. So, but we'll see if there is a lot of stuff that is Serrano Water District that needed, then we'll talk to them and see what.
Maybe we should put it in our permits, whenever they come in to pull a permit, unless they have a blanket permit.
There are certain things that we don't pay, from their water, and there are certain things that, we cannot. Anyway,
but that lack of striping is not exposing them to liability. It's exposing the city to the liability.
Well, I'll look at it.
So we shouldn't have to wait 3 to 6 months for them to.
No, I fully understand.
Part of our permit that, in the understanding that they accept liability for until they pay, until they.
But all the other utilities, they do. We don't close the permit until they finish the striping or refresh the striping. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry, I went out of the subject.
Okay.
On the striping, we were talking earlier about that intersection, that north part of Center Street where it curves sharply around to the valley. There is an existing asphalt sidewalk, and you said you're going to be replacing that and maybe widening it a little bit. There's no crosswalk to get from the east side of the street, which has a sidewalk, to the west side of the street, which has a sidewalk. Is there
normally you don't put a marked crosswalk, where there is no heavy pedestrians crossing and so on, because the crosswalks gives a false sense of security, for kids or adults to cross.
Well, it's a real sense of danger now.
It's a
rightfully so.
We try to avoid marking crosswalks unless it's really needed.
Okay.
As we're doing the plans, we'll look at and see if there's anything needed over there.
Okay. Any other discussion on street painting then? That's moving forward. All right. Next item is the discussion on the self-evaluation process. 30. Do we want to table that maybe till next?
I think we can set it up for the next meeting. I can talk a little bit about it and set it up, and then next time we can actually do it if you want to do that. I sit on a lot of committees in my company, and we feel like it's appropriate to do a periodic check-in on the committee. And I think one of the first things that's important to do is to dust off the charter. Any good committee is going to have some charter that defines the reason why they exist. And so, charters sit on the shelf and we don't usually look at them. We read them up front. We think we know what we need to be doing, and then we meet. And do we stay on task, or do we start to vary away from what the charter says we should be doing? So it's a good time to kind of check into that.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion would be that we distribute the charter between now and the next meeting, and our homework assignment will be to read the charter and think about the things that we've been doing since we've started versus what's written in the charter, and then be prepared to come into the next meeting to answer some questions like, is the charter, and I can type these up and send them to you just to kind of, is the charter relevant and appropriate? Are any changes to the charter needed? How well do the committee's activities align with the charter? Is our meeting frequency appropriate? Is the number and composition of our committee appropriate? How is the committee providing value to the city? What's going well? What should change? And I always kind of think about when I'm on a committee, are we flying at the right altitude? You know, are we in the weeds on too much stuff? Are we too high level? Are we at the right place? When we start to talk about things, I feel like sometimes we're engineers, we're technical, we like to.
So if you can send
me, like to crop dust and come in low. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay.
If you want to send me those, I can send a charter plus your questions, so we can use that as sort of a study guide.
We can just kind of think about it between now and the next meeting, and then come back and have a discussion about it.
Okay, that would be good.
Okay, I just think it's a prudent thing to do if you're going to sit on a committee. Everybody's time is valuable. Let's make sure we're heading in the right direction, and doing all the right things.
All right, next item on the agenda is the dog waste issue.
Before we go there, I would ask that, because in January they all renew the membership, it's a one-year membership type of thing, so if anyone has any interest of getting on or off, primarily getting on, making sure you're on it, you know, let me know, because I know at least one member has asked me how long the appointment was for, and I said, explained, and that person indicated they wanted to really think about it, and I said, okay, you know, but January is when we make the appointment. So we're in November, and it's just a food for thought. Yeah. If anyone's interested, or there are new members that you know of that might be interested, please, now's a good time to. Okay.
So this is the end of our second year of existence?
Yes.
Wow, time's flying.
We're all getting old.
Yeah, right.
All right, very good. So the dog waste receptacle issue.
That's it.
Yeah, I thought we could put this on to have a little discussion about some ideas. You know, it's a shame. I mean, my wife and I walk around town a lot. I know you do too. It's sad to walk through town and just, it seems like every, well, I don't know. There's certain areas where it's worse, but you're walking along and it's just ridiculous to see how much dog waste is left behind by pet owners. So I'm just wondering if we can brainstorm some ideas. I mean, putting new receptacles in and strategic locations where we know there's a lot of heavy dog walking traffic might help. But I also think there's another component to it too, that you know, there needs to be some sort of policing effort, probably by ourselves, right? Self-policing. I've been considering coming to the council meeting and just, you know, publicly shaming everybody that doesn't get up in front of the council and have the camera on me and say, look, everybody out there, stop it. Uh-huh. Knock it off. Take a dog bag with you. They're not expensive. Go buy one. Or we're providing them for you in enough locations throughout town. And then a self-enforcement process. I mean, you see something, say something. I told the story before we started that my wife was driving down the road and there was a lady on her cell phone tearing bags out of the receptacles, and she didn't even have a dog. So she rolled down the window and reprimanded her. Hey, what are you doing? Those are for dogs. You're taking bags. Stop it. And she did. She, okay, and she walked on. So I think it's a combination of a whole bunch of things to get it a little more under control. We're not going to stop it completely, but it's pretty bad. I think it's ridiculous in a city like this that we've got people that can, you know, are responsible enough to own a pet, but not responsible enough to pick up after him.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought I'd bring it up today. I'm certainly open to ideas.
It's certainly the big recreational activity in Villa Park is walking your dog.
Absolutely. So it's a great place to walk your
dog. We want to encourage it. What areas have you identified that?
Well, our little area. You know, we live up on Valley, east of Lemon there. So that whole area. I mean, we're walking Valley, for example. You walk along Valley east of where we are. You know, you got the nice wide dirt walkways. And
yeah, there's no trash bags that are there. Right.
There aren't trash containers either. Right. Yeah, and maybe that's part of this, is strategically kind of, you know, maybe we could take a map and kind of dot where the ones currently are, and then we could probably look at it and say, well, okay, we know there's a lot of activity in here, there aren't any in this area. Let's target some locations that would add a few. And I don't know if it would make any sense, you know, maybe it's not a big cost issue, but from a maintenance standpoint, I mean, I know that my wife and I would be happy to put one out in front of our place and maintain it. Dump it, refill it. I don't know if there'd be some community participation there that would help.
That's a good idea. You know,
I'm happy to do it. I'll put it on my property if you wanted to. That doesn't bother us. We're happy to help. So I don't know if there's others that would be willing to participate in that.
Yeah, I think part of it is like people, when you don't have a trash, then you have to like carry your bag
right.
For the whole time you're walking.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
People kind of You know, they don't want to carry their bags, I guess. Sometimes I see them, at least they put the bag by the wall.
With the hope that on their way back, they'll pick it up and take it with them.
Yeah, they'll pick it up, or, you know, maybe the city guy will pick them up.
Yeah, it's like, okay, no, you got close. Nice try. You got it in the bag. You left the bag.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of people will drop it with the hope that they'll grab it on the way back.
And I myself change sometimes my route to deposit the bag, because I don't want to carry them the whole time while I'm walking.
There's probably something to that, Matt. I mean, if the receptacle's there with the bag dispenser, but there's no place to...
Yeah.
Do the receptacles have a can attached or nearby, or are they separated?
No, they're separated. Yeah. We do get complaints about people not wanting trash receptacles outside their house.
We do get that because
the smells and rodents and whatever.
Yeah, but I know I've been promoting putting more dog waste receptacles in dispensers for the past 5 years, since I've been on council, and we've installed a bunch of them, but we've always installed them on city property.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If a resident will volunteer, I think that's great. Maybe that's something we should ask the residents to do, is if you've got a good spot and you see dog waste, if you can let us put one in there, we will.
I can identify where we have them and give you
Maybe that's a good start, is kind of just dot them on a map and then you can kind of look at where we have some blank spots.
I don't think we want to have the main focus of our maintenance crew to be cleaning up dog waste receptacles either, right?
There are also trash cans.
There are trash cans too, but the more we add, the more we need to clean out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which takes more time, and I just don't know what the... What I've heard is that the maintenance staff that we have is already overloaded.
Well, I think that some of the problem I just mentioned is some people don't like the trash receptacles there near their places because of, whatever, wildlife that may get into it or whatever you want to call it, or just smells or sight, vision, or, people tend to use those as depositories for lots of things besides dog.
Yeah.
Empty their car out or whatever the case may be, or people... Candidly, we have people that drive by and try and throw stuff out and hit those trash cans, which is unfortunate. While they're at a stoplight, or wherever they're stopping or whatever. I mean, you have that unfortunate situation around the schools and things like that.
Right.
So there's some residents that don't want that, but we can obviously clean up whatever. I mean, it's part of the deal.
Well, maybe there's a softer way to do it with messaging. I mean, on our media pages and maybe a mailer or a letter.
Put
out the word to, hey.
I mentioned before you all got here, one of the things is that keeping the dog trash dispensers full becomes sometimes a problematic. Michael fill them on Friday, and by Monday they're empty. There's no way in the world they should be empty by Monday, but people come, like you say, and grab handfuls or whatever. And so that's sort of, it is what it is, so he fills them again, but it's just, like you said, he stood there one day across the street in his truck and watched somebody take handfuls like your wife did.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're not like perfect sizes, they're not grocery bags, they just are what they are. But people sometimes do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know the receptacles are the answer. I mean, I'm not suggesting we just throw a bunch of receptacles out, because it does increase maintenance, and I'm sensitive to that. But I wonder, are there any other cities around that have had a best practice that's worked for them?
I mentioned for the meeting that San Clemente has a beach trail. It's about 2.5 miles long, and they've got trash receptacles and dispensers about every quarter mile. And they have a tremendous amount of dog walker activity on that, and very little waste. Dog waste. It's very convenient for folks to pick up after their dogs.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's also a lot of people on the trail, so it's kind of obvious if you don't think
a little public shaming never hurts.
But
we could put it in a feeder, and we could start doing some more public education too.
Yeah.
That, like you're saying publicly, it's remember to pick up after your animals. Yeah. And
encourage people to say something if they see somebody not picking up.
Yeah, I've noticed that...
it's our own community, right?
Places where I've recommended that we put in trash cans or dispensers in trash cans, the amount of dog waste has declined dramatically. Okay. So.
All right.
Have you thought of using social media at all?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think anything.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Increases awareness.
And the city's social media, to the extent that we reach out to people, we can do that.
But like, for example, Villa Park Buzz. Villa Park Buzz is a lot of Villa Park people are on it. There's also another app, what was it called?
Neighborhood?
Next Door.
Next Door is another one. And I think the most effective way, if I may suggest, is take pictures. Take pictures and post them. And people will react. I mean, we almost lost our cat, and my daughter basically posted, and when she had a lot of responses, it's like, about the cat.
Yeah, I mean, we need to put some pressure on the people that are doing it. They need to be identified. They need to be called out. Hey, what are you? Hey, you just walk. You just let your dog crap in my yard. You didn't pick it up. What are you doing?
You know, I sit on the board of HOA, and this is also a big issue for the HOA. And because we have the ability to fine people, the people that don't pick up after their dogs. No amount of shaming or scolding or getting in their face is going to do anything.
We're not going
to
fix it.
You're not going to police bad behavior that way. And if they actually get meaner and start fighting back, but you fine them, because we have the ability to fine, you fine them for that. Money talks,
okay.
And all of a sudden it doesn't go away completely, but it at least gets their attention, like, oh, okay, maybe not. But you run the risk of getting, once you start sending armies of people out to, like, pick, you know, harass, or if they see somebody misbehaving, you run the risk. I mean, you never know what people will do, right?
I'm not afraid of
people.
They
turn around and shoot you, maybe.
No,
I mean,
I'm not worried about getting shot.
If somebody's
going to do this and I see it, I'm going
to
say something.
He has chickens.
Yeah,
and to your point, several of the cities are now sending out law enforcement officers with their code enforcement officers because of that very
concern.
Because
of that problem, right.
Knocking on doors, you just don't know how people are going to react at times.
I'm not suggesting that.
So, and candidly, we don't... I think the best way to do is the social positive, like you're talking about social media.
Right.
At first, I don't really recommend that we use a deputy or a animal control to start finding or tracking, because that's not a good use of their time, candidly. I mean, I don't mean to, I'd rather them chase bad guys than chase people who are picking, I mean, they're bad guys to drop poop, but et cetera. I don't mean that in any way.
Yeah, but like, be a good neighbor, or maybe even post on
the
trash can, a colorful flyer, be a good neighbor, pick up your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we can do so.
Help out. Or, you know, just kind of try to spin it with the
social media.
A positive way, and get the community involved. Make it a high priority type of issue for the community. And I think because of the response you see on these social media sites, that people will get involved and get excited about, you know,
whatever works.
Part of it. Yeah, if you can
whatever
drum up,
works.
I think Bill's is a picture of 1,000 words, though. Those things, if you see something on social media, boy, that changes the world.
Yeah.
We get reactions.
Okay.
Did you know something's been posted on this? We don't control those social medias. We don't control.
Are you talking about a picture of someone putting their stuff? Or leaving their stuff
Well, leaving their stuff, or just the stuff by itself.
Oh,
I mean,
just
if
the
you
stuff
can't catch that people, I mean, you don't want to show their face, because otherwise they'll come after
you.
You
why not? I'm in a public street.
You can
why
make
not?
It fun.
Can,
maybe
I'm
like
afraid
a
of all this
dog
stuff,
dropping spotted at the corner of Taft and whatever, and, you know, it's like at 10 a.m. And I mean, you could... kind of gross, but I mean, it may for the kids and for people that walk. I mean,
and the moms. The moms make
one doggy treat.
One doggy treat.
Right. I mean, there's so many with the right spin on the marketing of this.
Well, who does it?
Right.
Who does what here?
Right. Without naming name, you know, without being too.
Why are you so worried about that?
I've seen what happens when you get somebody that doesn't really care what you think.
I'd be
or
glad
what
to have a conversation with that person.
Oh my God, come to this community. It's been years, okay?
Yeah.
And it just escalates into other things.
Yeah.
Okay. Dog poop may be one thing, but then all of a sudden, for instance, they'll be closing down the private streets so their kids can play in the. They're small children playing in the streets during peak hour at dusk when nobody can see. I mean, it goes on and on and on, you know. So.
What community? Where is this community? I gotta stay away.
Keep in mind that
it's a nice community, but part of just one person.
And maybe the initial incentive for our dog waste receptacles is that it's part of our NPDES compliance program. Mm-hmm. It's a water quality issue because you're trying to keep bacteria out, and it's. Bacteria is emerging as a really big issue for urban runoff, and rather than trying to treat it to remove the bacteria after it gets into the runoff, it's better to have the receptacles. And it also makes us look like we're making a serious effort at compliance to the regulators and environmental special interests. So it's
plus we're hoping that people that live at Villa Park are not your average.
Well, evidently they are. Pretty average because they're doing it a lot. That's why I'm so disappointed about it.
You become a city.
You know, the beach cities have the one up because everyone, as soon as you think of the dog waste entering the ocean, then killing the dolphins. And I mean, there's, and every catch basin is painted, save the ocean, all that stuff. So they have that benefit. We're a little bit further removed, but Bob's, he's right. I mean, we can definitely add that component to the to the message.
You don't want bacteria to your children.
I've read a story where the dog waste is actually affecting the Russian River in Northern California, because every homeless encampment along the river in that area, they all have dogs up there, and between the human waste and the dog waste, it's been a huge pollutant load on that river itself. So it's not a far cry.
Well, maybe we could, for some action items, I mean, maybe we could look at a map, and if we can spot where the ones currently are, let's look. If there's some huge voids, maybe a few more would help. I don't think putting them every 100 feet is going to solve the problem, but maybe there's some balance of a few more here and there without overloading our maintenance resources.
No, we install them. I mean, Council McCullough's called, and we've installed them on multiple locations as a result of him calling, saying, can we put one here, can we put one there?
We like them. We like them. We use them all the time. I only take one bag. One bag per dog per walk.
So we have about 10 minutes left. Let's move on. We have one more item, I guess, handicap accessibility on our agenda.
This is we are doing an assessment of all the handicap access points, etc., and we'll be coming back with a report to show you where all those needs are, and adoption of a policy as well we have to adopt. So...
a policy.
They have money in the budget for
ramps
and stuff.
So some ramps. So there's a policy by state law. Now we have the handicap compliance issues we have to deal with. So we're working on it. Just that's sort of an FYI item. It'll come. It's coming back to the committee here.
Okay.
So you'll be hearing more about it.
Okay. So an exhibit with the location of the existing
and
proposed
issue,
and identifying.
And we've got a
roads to school.
Right. And we've got
roads
to school. Money in the budget, like that.
Okay. Isn't there some funding with Save Rats to School funding or something? Did we talk about that before? I know
there is some available, but we've got to work. That's one of the things we have to make sure we clean up before we.
Oh, before ask for the money.
We have to make sure we have the handicapped accessibility to.
You have to identify the route before you can
ask
for the money, I guess. So because we haven't identified the routes yet, but it would be available.
Excuse me.
Okay. All right. Any other items
we
have to discuss?
We do have, at the last council meeting, we approved funding for an assistant city engineer to...
Yeah, we approved for basically 6 hours of an individual, Akram, her name?
Maruz.
She is basically, we used to have an engineering technician there, and it wasn't really appropriate. The work level wasn't being done. So for Fridays, every other Friday, we're having somebody come in, and she's coming in, and eventually, to the extent that Akram will retire, she's an employee of NV5, and she will transition.
Will retire.
Maruz El Khanapur?
Or different Maruz? Do you know Amir in San Clemente?
Yeah,
his wife.
Yeah,
that's
Maruz El Khanapur. Yes.
Yes.
Former chief of Orange County building, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We know her from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
She's
a fine checker. Okay, so she's
going. She'll be coming in every other Friday to sort of transition to some of the projects and get involved in some of the things. So she's familiar with it. She also helps.
But her expertise is building plan check and development type stuff, right? She's not really a CIP person. So is she going to be able to?
She's
not a capital improvements, street rehab type of person. She's a building and grading person. She doesn't have the background that Akram has in managing capital improvements. So I would just see how it goes.
Yeah, no,
it'd be great for like building permits and stuff that Bill Tarrant does.
Right.
Just something to.
But she's really
She's a very nice person.
Yeah, very nice person.
We'll make sure when I retire, we'll have somebody has some expertise.
They have to have the capital improvements expertise if they're going to run our projects.
Retirement request denied.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
We're still.
No.
Still, we have some time.
Okay, all right, good.
What happened is.
Any other?
Just information out of my. I was at the California Stormwater Quality Association conference a couple weeks back and ran into the vendor that's been providing us with a new type of storm drain insert to exclude trash. And I guess they're being installed in a few places here in the city, or at least they described that. So
something new.
Yeah. So
besides the racks, what would that something new be?
It's got like plastic fingers in it that move, and supposedly they don't clog up as much as the other type. I don't know where they were installed, but are you familiar with that?
Who installed them? I'm sorry. Which?
They said they worked with John Hunter installing them around the some places in the city. They said there were some on Taft. I haven't gone out to look yet, but
we've installed the
catch basins.
Catch basins inserts.
Debris racks.
It has a insert, so all the debris goes in there, and you need to clean it. But I'm not aware.
Maybe they're mistaken about the city because they actually said on Taft. But,
could be orange.
Orange, maybe.
No, they said it was full part of.
Pretty well.
Catch basins is the only thing that's been installed by the city.
I'll look around.
Yeah, and please give me the person's name and contact.
I'll see if I still have that. Yeah. And how are things going on the Canyon storm drain? We replaced that pipe and it was extended. Do we still have? is there still standing water in Canyon storm drain or? Up above Henderson?
No.
Okay.
Oh. No, it's functioned very well over the the storm. It functioned very well.
Okay.
So that project's closed, done deal.
Oh. It is in negotiations with settlement, with our insurance company.
But the capital improvement project is done.
It's closed.
Yeah. Oh, the capital project, we are done. Yeah. And it was done in time for the rains last year, and it stood up very well, drained wonderfully. We had no problems.
But the restoration still?
The restoration is a negotiable item between the current property owner and the insurance company represents us. CalJPIA represents us. And
we hope that'll be settled this year. Maybe not.
you know what? We are the insurance company has attorneys assigned to it, and we just get updates. And I don't really want to comment, but it's they're in negotiations. Let me just say that.
Any other items before we close?
The green belt on Waldo.
Yes.
Are we doing anything with that?
We have a survey out right now, and we've gotten over 260 responses at this point. We'll have it through the middle of December, and you can access it online. And there's a note in there in the most recent Century as well. It's on our website, the links, and you can take it in person if you want to in City Hall. So that's just one of the tools that the council will have. So, like I said, we already have some pretty heavy interest for 260 people respond already at this point. So the council probably will be addressing it in a bigger picture in the early part of next year.
So is it positive? Or?
Well, positive response level.
Yeah?
I mean,
okay.
What their responses are, we haven't gone in there because it's sort of, to take a snapshot now, if somebody fills it out, doesn't mean, you know, it's not truly representative of what the, you know.
Okay.
So we're not taking, I don't want to report and say, well, this is the up to this point. The big indicator is, are people responding? And yes, that's a, people are responding. And what they're saying in there, I don't even want to look at now until, because we're trying not to prejudice whatever's said. It's, we do get a lot. We tell people, we don't know. Go look on it, put it on right now.
I noticed that one of, I did take a look at that at the questionnaire, and I did see that dog park was considered, or was one of the options.
It was suggested by somebody, and we, you know, all options are open. There's open space if somebody wants to put their own option in there as well.
Right.
Put a cap on the dollar amount, whatever, you know, so there's a lot of options, and we're trying to get input. And the first question is, are you a Villa Park resident?
Right.
You know, that's the very first question.
Is that we verified that? Anonymous
responses? they are anonymous responses. Yes, they're anonymous responses.
But they have to be by address or something.
No, they're not. They're
so anybody how would you? Fill, how
anybody
would you
can fill it out. You're right. It is not the. It is not a statistically accurate. I mean, it's not intended to be a. It is a tool for the council to have as another tool because they'll be discussing it in public hearings, etc. But it's one thing where a lot of people don't ever want to come to public hearings or whatever, so voices can be heard without all having to be here. And it, again, it's just a tool for the council to have another voice, if you will. It is not intended to be a statistically accurate sampling of the residents of Villa Park by any stretch of the imagination.
There was some discussion about forming a committee for that work. Is that
it'll be up to that'll be up to the council to decide how they want to deal with it all. If you talk to five different councilmen, they all have five different opinions. So I don't want
to speak. But there is no formal committee set up.
There is no committee at this point set up.
Okay.
There's been talk. I know the mayor has talked about that, but others have said, you know, different things. So I don't want to represent the council. It's going to be a council decision.
Right.
And I'm hoping to have them sort of take action in early part of the coming year.
Is the survey and the work that's, that was done before by the landscape architect available to anybody?
Yeah, it's available, but I mean, it's sort of outlandish. I want to say it was several hundred thousand dollars that they talked about for the project. We have the poster boards. things. Excuse me. And they went to, they had a public hearing on it. A couple of years ago, and I think the community...
Four or five years ago.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, the community response was not real positive. We have that available. We have what's available, but candidly, it's not... I don't know that that's something that the council would want to move forward on. You know, I don't know. I don't want to speak for... You could probably address it better than I can.
Well, there's four other councilmen, so... Like you said, there's probably five of them.
But that work is available. Who wants to see it? It's a pretty elaborate plan that was drawn up.
We're thinking of the base. Is the base available electronically?
No, it was not available electronically. No, it was not. It was predates me, predates all of us, I think.
So the city wouldn't be able to go back to the consultant who did that work and get the base.
We probably could, but out of charge. I'm assuming no charges.
We were thinking it might save some time.
I'm sure they have it,
right.
But I'm sure they're going to want to say this is a bunch of questions.
They should have delivered something other than colored
pictures. All I know, we have pictures, we have poster boards, etc.
Right.
That's all I'm able to find in our files. So what was actually delivered or not, this was done 4 or 5 years ago, like you said, and I can't answer for what.
Well, just like all the street work, every project that's done, we're collecting the CAD files, right? As part of the deliverables.
Right.
Yeah.
Since you've
been here,
Yeah. But this was, just like I say, predates, so what was submitted at the time, I can't take ownership for it.
Because it would be helpful if we wanted to do our own alternate and post it.
I'd be happy to show it to you. It's nothing very exacting. Nothing very exacting at all.
Google Earth. Is it in a PDF?
Yeah, I could do it. Google
Earth.
So couldn't even scan it. I remember they were boards.
They're boards. That's all it is. That's all that we have.
So they didn't do a survey, though?
No, not to... I don't know. Nothing is in our shared files.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Anything further? I'm sorry. We are adjourned, 9:03.
All right.
Next meeting. Oh, I'm sorry.